This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Milky Monday.
Betty Burning, contributing dairy economist with High Ground Dairy in Chicago. Betty, the second largest wildfire in Texas history made headlines last week. Give us the latest.
At least 1.1 million acres were impacted, and it's named the Smokehouse Creek Fire. It's burned so much that it's burned into another wildfire. As of late last week, it was burning north of Amarillo and to the east of there. That's a more heavy ranch area. Dairies are to the west of there. And as of the end of last week, it certainly was possible that the fire could spread to that region of the state. That's what Texas A&M Forest Service was forecasting at any rate.
Tuesday.
Dr. Dale Werner, Cargill Endowed Professor in Sustainable Meat Science at Texas Tech University, on the progress of dairy cattle in the beef industry.
Just to give a little background, we harvest somewhere around 25.5 million fed cattle each year. Fed cattle being specific to steers and heifers. So these are the younger animals, not including cows and bulls. We add those to the mix and we're somewhere around 31 to 33 million head a year. Dairy cattle today making up greater than 20% of the total harvest mix. That's predominantly due to the fact that the beef cow herd is shrinking. Drought in major cattle producing areas of the country have contributed the most to that. Conventional beef cattle and dairy cattle are different. That's no surprise. Somehow, some way early on in this game, we decided that they needed to be the same and that we're going to manage them the same. And that's where a lot of the mistakes have come from. Conventional cattle, of course, known for quicker growth rates. They've been demonstrated to have better gut health, and that's really specific to liver abscess percentage. They have lower liver abscesses at the time of harvest. They convert more of their live weight to carcass, meaning they have dressing percentage advantage. They have more muscle to bone. Inherently, they are heavier muscled. They have more ideal steak shape, specifically strip loin steaks and ribeye steaks.
Wednesday.
So the big question this week, Ryan, what is the milk pricing system and how does it work?
Okay, so the first thing to understand, there are 11 different regions, okay, and there's four classes. Class one is for fluid milk for drinking, and then you can essentially think of classes 2, 3, and 4 for manufacturing. Nowadays, the vast majority of milk produced in the United States is grade A. How is the pay price set? Well, it's set by class. Okay, so what region are you in? And then what class does your milk get sold into? And then how are the different prices determined for the different classes? Okay, that's what changed in 2000. The government said, we're going to change these equations that we use to determine the price of different classes of milk.
Thursday.
The American consumer has faced the effects of inflation for the last 3 years that have curtailed some of their consumption. They're spending more dollars to get fewer goods, and result is we have less volume working its way through the system and ending up in their refrigerator. And the second of that, very similarly, the global consumer has taken a softer stance in the market. You could highlight China as maybe one of the weakest buyers in the world marketplace right now, but it's seen elsewhere as well. Southeast Asian market has been soft. The Middle East, North African market has been hit and miss. And so consumption around the globe has, you know, depressed milk values as flows of product just aren't going where they had in the years prior.
I think one of your messages was volume, volume, volume.
Yeah, you know, dairy products are special in that they have a very short shelf life. You can't just keep them around indefinitely. They have to move. And if they don't move, they have a negative impact on price.
Friday.
Well, welcome to today's Feed Forum, and our topic is going to be looking at factors that impact colostrum quantity and quality. This was based on an invited review by the Journal of Dairy Science and was pulled together by the Cornell Research Departments at Cornell University and published in the Journal of Dairy Science in January of 2024. And they looked at a number of different factors, Bill, that could impact the colostrum, both quality and quantity. First, what about seasonality? And it was kind of a mixed bag. We looked at the research here in the U.S. We saw the lower levels that occurred in June, July, and August could be related to heat stress. However, in the German data papers, April was the highest levels, especially in first lactation cows. You have to get colostrum into calves for disease protection, but there's a great deal of variation in the amount that is produced on farms, both in quality and quantity.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to DairyRadio.com.
Dairy Rewind.